Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, round four has concluded in what was a memorable round, Body. It was fantastic. Cairns showed a bit of glimpse in that last game, but they're still struggling. Welcome, mate. What a week it's been.
It's been fantastic, and I'm still sort of in the glow of our interview yesterday with Lindsay Gaze. I think that was just a high point for both of us, and it's a wonderful book. I'm just going to reiterate, Gaze, the man, the player, the coach. Go out and get it now. It's available through all reputable bookstores and even a couple of disreputable ones where you might have to go behind the adult books. But it's there, and it's worth getting, and buy it. And get your friends to buy it. I'm telling you, if you've got any interest in the history of the game, it's right there in this book. It's a fantastic thing. So,
It's funny you say that, Body, because you seem to know all about moving those books out the way and going to the back ones. But anyway, we'll talk about that separately. Can I just say that interview with Lindsay, that was phenomenal. I actually just set it off air so our listeners can say it actually felt like we played a good game of basketball at the NBL level and won the game, and you've got that energy after a game that you can't sleep for a while. That's what it felt like to me. Like, Lindsay is just the doyle. Like, it's just, I just couldn't believe it. And I still get goosebumps just thinking that poem that he wrote, everything like that is unbelievable. So everyone, just make sure, I mean, it's on our pod, obviously. Look up our pods and you can see it. And it's all about Lindsay Gaze. It's up there and it's phenomenal. And Body, kudos to you, because they branched out to you and said, hey, we want to get this done.
Yeah, he's such an unflappable man too. He's just so engaging. I love him, and I love what he's brought to the game. There's been controversy in the past, and there's been all kinds of things with Lindsay. But what you get is someone who just loves the game, and has a real perspective on it and where it fits in the scheme of things. The book is eye-opening and compelling reading. If you're, like I said, if you're interested in the history of the game at all, and of him specifically, but also the game around it, you will love this thing.
He's just sharp as a tack. Like, you ask him questions. I remember asking him about some coaching stuff on the pod, and he just came back with bang, the answer. Do you know what I mean? This is what it is. You ask him. Everyone now plays 30 minutes. Back then it was 48 minutes, and he's like, well, you got to do what you got to do. Bang. Yeah. Not this is right or that's wrong. Just go. So brilliant. Anyway, let's move on, and everyone get his book. It was brilliant, and listen to that pod. It's fantastic. And we had a couple of good laughs as well. Lindsay, he's still got his swagger going. So, mate, let's start the round. We saw some more flexing from Melbourne United. That's pretty much the one that stands out for me this round. They were great. They beat the Bullets by 13 last Friday.
I was impressed, and I was also pleased. In two things, I was really pleased to see Chris Gording have a really good shooting night. We know he's a great shooter. The record's on the board. That's not in dispute. He's not Clint Steindl or Cam Glidden going through ups and downs. He's a great shooter. But it was really good just to see him come out and do it and blow a team off the floor. And that's what he did. He blew them off the floor. And the other thing I liked about that game, quite apart from the usual performances of Jock Landale and Jack White, who are good players, very, very good players, was that Scotty Hobson started to find some form. He started to look a bit like the Scotty Hobson that we know him to be. So, fingers crossed that he's finding his way in that environment and that he continues to blossom.
Yeah, it was great to see. And I'll tell you, I thought Brisbane played well, mate. They kept hanging in there. They were never out of the game. I know they lost by 13 in the end, but I thought Sobes was great. You could see he's got a chip on his shoulder about the Australian team, which is fair enough. I would too.
From his point of view,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think Vic Lord was great again. I thought Hodgson played well down low. They had some good guys coming in. I just thought they did everything they can, but Melbourne were just so strong. Cairns, they looked awful the next night. They looked absolutely woeful. And, I said, I'm going to pick them. And you said, all right, I'll go the opposite. That's how we were for both of those games with them. And you and I were tossing coins with that one. And I said, if they don't win this game, I'm going to go off them. And I was. And I didn't think they did well at all. But I'll talk about their next game as well. But, New Zealand got the win by six.
Let's put those two games together, because that first one, I think you're being a little harsh, because they did have a double-digit lead and they were looking pretty good there at one stage. And then And then the usual malaise set in, but worse than ever. I mean, some of those shots that were taken, I mean, I don't want to single people out, but Harvey King came on and thought, well, I've got to have an impact. So he tried to hit a touchdown every time he handled the ball. Kwiat Noi was out of control. There was one of the other kids hit the side of the backboard with a shot. And this is at a time when you're nursing a double-digit lead, and it's almost like, oh, we're on comfort city now, so we can just go back to being knuckleheads. And they open the door, and the man who stormed through that door was Lamar Patterson.
Oh, and you got to get out of his well. Yeah. Didn't he play well? Yeah, he was great. So if we're going to put these two games together, I'm one that turned around and said, you know, the coach of New Zealand, Schmier, I thought he was doing a good job, mate. That was a train wreck last night.
Yes,
that was unbelievable. He completely lost Lamar Patterson. Completely had a go at him in a timeout, and I've seen this.
As he needed to, Brad. Geez, he's standing in the middle of the keyway while his man shoots an uncontested three.
Yeah, but
come on, make it.
Okay, but I'm gonna go back the other way. Here's this guy watching, basically, you know, the Webster show. Both of those kids shooting. Patterson's come off 22 points the night before and took him to a couple of nights before, took him to a game. He had two shots by then, buddy.
Yeah.
Two shots. Yeah. He's probably thinking, bugger them. I don't care. Drive down the middle and take me out. This is ridiculous. Yeah. And is that the right way to think? No, we know that. But, mate, it's a bigger thing than just pulling him out and saying, hey, you let me go down there. He's probably thinking, well, man, you brought me here to put the ball in the damn bucket. Give me the damn rock.
Yeah, so, that's a fair point. Ty Webster, I think it was 5 for 17 or something. It's like, and they made their best run of the second half when both the Webster boys were sitting off.
This is last night, aren't you? Yeah.
Finn Delaney, who I thought, well, you know, he's having a reasonable game, but he was having a break. And the other import, Colton Iverson, he was not worth a pinch of poop. So basically the group they had on the floor might not be who you would be expect to see playing. And they got them back within, well, they came back from 22, got to within about 7 or 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could feel, okay, is it going to happen again? Because that's exactly what happened in the previous game. They had a nice lead, Cairns. New Zealand made a run and Cairns fell apart like a house of cards. This time they pulled together. They made some big plays and they found that other option. You know, we've been talking about that, you know, Scotty Machado's getting the job done. Cam Oliver gets the numbers. Who else is going to step up? Well, we said this.
Yeah, we said this at the beginning of the year, mate. It needs to be Kwiat Noi and Deng. It has to be those
and
two.
It was. And it was.
Yeah, they had
immediately they're different.
Yeah, 18 and 23 respectively. And we're talking again last night. I thought Jared Weeks was great last night. He's hardly played minutes, and I thought his energy was brilliant. What I liked about when Weeksy came on is they just took, instead of it being a ball dominated point guard position, the ball then went around, it was touching hands, and now it went to the three man and the four man. I thought Abercrombie was good. And the ball was, because all it was, mate, it was just like dribble the air out of the ball and shoot, you know, like it was. Yeah. And I love, mate, those Webster boys can play. Like Ty Webster's flat out baller.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, you know, but I just felt last night was, you could see evidence of it. And mate, that's not going to end well, buddy. I can say it now. There's no way in my mind they're going to make the playoffs, because I don't care. And they lost, obviously, but there's not enough to cover that on. Something's got to change. And if they don't, that's going to go downhill quick.
Yeah. You see, again, when you mentioned Jared Weeks, he was in that group that I was talking about that was on the floor that brought them back into the game, because they were not playing individual ball and they were sort of getting the ball to Lamar and allowing him to do his thing. And again, he had a really nice patch in the game there. But yeah, full credit to Cairns for weathering that, because, you know, you could feel it. This is the moment they're going to tighten. And then let's see what happens. You know, is Cam Oliver going to be beating his chest and getting in people's faces but not actually getting on with the game? And are we going to start bitching and moaning at the referees? Is this what we're about to see? And we didn't. We saw them pull together and then pull away. And okay,
if I'm coaching anyone against Cairns, the first thing I would be saying is get up and get in to Cam Oliver. You saw it last night. Yeah. Rob Lowe did it, but he should have gone on more. And I know this is going to be completely wrong when you say that, but I used to say this to some of my guys when I was coaching them. I want him to want to hit you.
Yeah.
And get him to hit you. That's what I want. Because Cam Oliver out of the game, and mate, the Cairns are going to struggle big time. I thought Nate did a good job last night, Jawai.
I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him. I think there's moments in the game that he should be in it. And I think Mike Kelly might be phasing him out. I don't know whether he's injured or there's an issue or whatever, but I would like to see a bit more of Nate Jawai. And look, we're talking about pro sports here, Brad, and it is a legitimate tactic in professional sport to try and irritate a good player on another team. That's to try and get them off their game. That's part of it. It's not sort of amateur sport. We're all shaking hands and we're getting a lovely aren't you the nicest player on the court award. It's like we're trying to win the ball game. So yeah, you see somebody's got a vulnerability or a susceptibility or a volatility that you can play to, bloody oath you play to.
I would, and they don't do it enough now. They don't do it, Like, I mean, Sobey's
got a saccharine world.
Sobey's got that little bit of that, you know what I mean, when he gets in. I noticed he did that to Golding this round as well. But Chris had come off and hit like 1,700 threes, so he got the win on that one. But it's
there's a good answer to that. That's it. See, good player will respond to that in that manner.
Correct.
So it's not when a listener who doesn't really understand pro sports hears us talking about that and say, what? And thinks, well, aren't you sort of cheating if you're sort of trying to irritate a player off their game? So, no, unfortunately, it's professional sport. They're getting paid to do a job. So they're paid to focus. So if you can get them out of that focus, then you're succeeding. You're earning your pay packet. So it is legit. But the really good player will recognize why that is happening and grow in confidence from it, going, what, that's what you've got to resort to try and get the better of me? Wow, watch this. Bang, bang, bang. And that's
smile. Smile, and as they always do, my old man always used to say to me, just say, look at the scoreboard. Now, I know that's old school, but that's just the way it is, mate.
Your old man used to say to you, what the hell are you doing in the house again? Get outside, I told you.
No, he actually used to say, you're not even mine. You're adopted. moving on. Saturday night, this was a shock. We're going to Adelaide and Sydney. That was a shock. I mean, Sydney winning.
It's a shock.
20? By 20?
It's a shock, but it's only a shock in hindsight. Like going into it, the elements were there for Adelaide to grow and become the best version of itself. Let's take another step and another step and another step. But the problem with that staircase is that it goes in two directions. You take a step up and you can also take two steps down very easily. And Sydney had the week. Adam Ford obviously plotted it out. They had the week to work out how they're going to counter the DJ Isaac Humphries combination, the Twin Towers, which really unsettled them in the previous week.
Yep.
He opened up with Jordan Hunter and Jarrell Martin. He went that way, changed things. Mm-hmm. And I thought they had the initiative throughout and that Adelaide was reacting throughout. Mm-hmm. So, and once you're in that position, you're in the winning position.
He did a good job. I like to see a coach that changes, what he did. And Isaac Humphries had 4 points and 9 rebounds. And I can't remember the game before, but it was 28 points or whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? It was a dominating. DJ was DJ. That's the only way you can put it with him. Sunday Deck, I love him. I do, and he had 13 points. Mate, what's the story with Sloan? Did he push? Does he want out? Does he not like sitting behind?
Look, all I'm going to say to you is...
What's going on?
All I'm going to say to you is this. If you're a veteran import who's played NBA and you're brought in to be a point guard on an NBL team in Australia, and within a couple of weeks you're coming off the bench behind an 18-year-old, you might not like to stay in that environment. I don't think it looks good on your resume down the track.
Enough said. Weirdest and worst hairstyle, Pinder. What's going on with that, mate?
I don't know, but I think to sort of come out with that sort of outlandish and ridiculous hairstyle, you better have game.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
He's old man, dude.
His old man had game, but Keanu does not. He can barely play. There are times he's so lost on the floor that you think, he's looking for the hairdressing salon.
He shot a free throw the other day, and he tried to put his... I don't know what you call it, something that fell in front of his eyes back, his hair, but, a fro. Mate, kept popping down in front of his eyes. And what I thought is maybe if it all came down and covered his eyes, it actually might help.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope. But I remember the first time Lucas Walker walked out with those apple green coloured shoes.
Yeah.
All right. And you sort of thought, geez, Lucas, what are you doing? And first chance he got, he threw down a magnificent dunk and you thought, okay, fine, nice shoes. But when you when you're going to do something outlandish, you better have game.
Bring it, back it up. All right, let's move.
Otherwise, you look like a dill.
Let's move. I want to go to Ware and Martin. When you're recruiting this team and you lose players like Bogut and Lish and Tate and your coach, the one thing you need is your imports going from 3 down to 2. You need your imports to be guns. Mate, they produced on Saturday night, 60 points between them. Casper Ware having that little dance and his swagger came back. 6 of 10 from the three-point line, 27 points. Martin, loving him, loving him. He is a really good player. They play well.
I think I said to you very early in the piece when they played, I think their first game was against Cairns. Yeah, they lost it by a point.
Yeah.
That's right. That was Cairns' first win. Okay. So, and he only played limited minutes in that game, Jarrell Martin.
Yeah,
and
I think it was on injury, yep, whatever, yeah.
Hmm. Managed minutes, right. And when we spoke after that, I said to you, that guy is good. He's going to rip this up, and he's doing it. And I love him. I love his demeanor. I saw him interviewed. I think he looks like an absolutely charming and delightful human being. I think they got a great, great package there in terms of what he can do on and off the floor and what he's going to be for them. And I love the guy, really do like his game, like the way he goes about it, like the way he carries himself. Casper Ware, we've been waiting just to get Casper Ware back. And I thought, again, Sunday Dick had started really well on him. He's gone for 21 in the second half. Once he found his stroke, you know, he didn't lose it again.
Yeah.
And to finish with 27, he was my player of the week. Actually, I thought from the whole round, the person that stood out the most for me was Casper, because we got Casper. We got the real Casper, the one that we know. And, you know, quite in contrast to, say, Bryce Cotton making that mishandle on the
– oh, my God. Look at that. That is – oh, my God.
Yeah, like you don't see that.
No, man, That's Jesse Wagstaff missing a layup. You know what I mean? Like this, what is going on?
I'm not taking any more of those. Oh, Wagstaff only took 3-point attempts. He's not going anywhere near
the basket. I'm not going in the key. He's gone back to Monday night basketball. I'm not going in the key. I'm just staying outside three.
It's
I wanted to ask with Casper. He's gone away. You remember he used to do the three fingers in the forehead? You know, like he used to mate, he doesn't do that anymore.
He hasn't been making threes, Brad. You don't do it.
But, I know this is quite minor, but that tells me his mentality. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay, that's a good
and that's
point.
Where
that's
I'm coming
good
from.
Good observation. Yeah.
Yes. So you know, when you're humming and swaggering, you know, yeah, brother, that's, you know, that's the three and stuff, you know. But but he's I just thought that was an interesting one. Anyway, I know our listeners.
That's a brilliant observation. Body language is very important, and that is a really good observation. It does show where his headset has been. And where his mindset's been, and that he hasn't had the confidence in himself. So after that performance, I don't think we'll see that the three, you know, fingers hitting the forehead just yet, or the temple. But yeah, I think it's coming if he can just keep duplicating that. And I hope that was him.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Then when we go to Sunday, it was a doubleheader on Sunday. We'll talk about two Melbourne teams are in there, but this one's the Phoenix versus the Hawks. You and I both picked the Hawks. I look at this and go, the Hawks losing their first game of the year, is it a worry? Absolutely not. What did that tell me? They've been on the road for a long time.
You know what it told me? That you and I are a pair of knuckleheads at times, because if we had actually thought about that a little bit more deeply, I think we would have actually arrived at Phoenix. Because when I looked at it, well, I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, this is the first game they're playing at the State Basketball Centre. That's in the hub of their home. This is their first home game, but it's also actually a legit home game. You're not playing at, say, Hisense Arena or
Ballarat or whatever.
Bendigo. You're actually in your home. You're feeling great about things. You've got players that are starting to come good and understanding their roles. It's only a matter of time before we get that breakout game from McGlidden.
You know,
that game that we know is always coming. And then now there'll be another one next week because he's feeling good about himself. Maybe we'll get two or three in a row and then he'll go back to what he was.
I just got to cut you off there. You said if we would have thought about it and if we thought we were knuckleheads. Mate, I knew that ages ago. What are you saying? I knew we were knuckleheads.
Well, I just see what we have here is evidence. Evidence that proves it.
Mate,
one thing
I'm
to
telling
know
you,
you're a knucklehead.
The mirror tells me every morning. I'm telling you. What's interesting about this Southeast Melbourne game and the Hawks, I've never seen this before. Top score was 15 and there was 5 of them.
That's right. That is
five
their formula
players.
For success. So that's what they've got to do week in, week out. We've got to have 5 guys getting 15. We're going to win the ball game.
I've never thought that was amazing. Like all 5 top scorers were 15 points. But yeah, Glidden 5 of 11 from the field, and that was 5-11 from the three-point line. And he had his bit of a swagger back.
Yes.
Wetzel was probably a little bit quiet. I liked
he had
him.
He had some moments.
Sykes is good. Does he get some guards, doesn't he? They recruit well, that team.
Yep, so, yep. But you see, again, if we had thought it through, you got Cam Besto and Dengadel coming back into a lineup that has settled and is playing quite well. So when Besto hit the floor, when he first came in the first quarter, I thought he was going to get 40 points. Like, he just went to town, hit a three, hit a couple of inside moves, you know, strong post moves. I thought, geez, you know, this is going to be dangerous for the Phoenix. But again, that influences your rotation. Now, that means, say, AJ, who has been playing quite well, maybe is out of the game a bit more than what he was. And there's an adjustment period. So had we factored that in, I think we would have correctly identified that the Phoenix is going to cause an upset. But as you say, is that cause for greater alarm? No, it certainly is
not.
I'll
tell you what it will do. It will tell Gorge, and I know how he rolls, it'll tell Gorge, he's a stickler for half times and how we do it. I think it's 15-minute halves. It used to be. I think it still is. And he will have that on a button. So he'll know, right, this time. Third quarter, 35-22. Yeah. That's what the Phoenix. He'll be working on that all week. We have to be prepared for that second half. We'll be ready, and this is what it will be. But 35 points, oh, mate, they will be running until they get to Melbourne. You know, they'll run from Wollongong to Melbourne, that team, after giving up 35 points in a quarter. But I agree, there's no worries there, mate. Let's move on to Melbourne United beating Perth. Perth did everything they could. Melbourne United just flexed their muscle. And even with Goulding going down, which doesn't look a great injury, you know, that old no one was round. They're saying it's a 3 to 4 week calf injury. And look, Goulding, he's not that age, so we don't have to worry. But as you get older, a calf is a terrible injury because you just don't know when it's ready.
Yeah, I know. And you don't know till you're actually out there. And
correct.
You try it out and you go, no, actually need another couple of weeks. Yeah. It's a terrible injury. The calf and the hammy. They're not fun to get.
They were great. Again, Melbourne, they shared it. I thought Hobson was still a bit quiet. But, you know, he played a lot better in that first game against Brisbane. We know that. And interesting, he played well against Brisbane because that's where he hit that game winner last year as well.
Yes, I did think exactly the same thing, that he's in a venue where he has enjoyed some success. Maybe that plays a role. But before we quickly get off Chris Goulding, you know, you say he's not yet at that age where you need to worry about soft tissue injuries. He's 32.
Yeah.
So he is in that vulnerable age, but hopefully it's not anything too serious. And again, it was just a matter of somebody stepping up. And how good was Uday Barber? Gee, how good was he?
Unbelievable. But I think I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and it was it's pretty nice. Yeah. But that was another level. His plus minus was 21.
Right.
That's huge. So just, I mean, I know our listeners are educated. Plus minus is for the time that you're on the court, how the plus minus of your team goes. Yeah. So in other words, when he's on the court, his team got 21 points up. Now they might have been down by 21 and come back to zero or whatever it was, but it was plus 21, and that was brilliant. Where Scotty Hobson, mind you, was minus 12, which was an interesting one.
Again, as we saw, both Hobson and Patterson played well in the first game of both teams, and then tapered off in the second game that both teams played, you know, that New Zealand played and that Melbourne played. So Hobson's not quite there yet, but gee, there's enough talent there. And there's a terrific ripper rebound taken by Jack White late in the game, offensive rebound. Yeah, huge. I don't think there's any cause for alarm for Perth either. I know Perth now are 1-2, and people go, ooh, 1-2. It's like, that's three games.
And please. And two of those, and basically they had a layup to win one of them.
Yes.
And Bryce Cotton, the MVP by far, turns the ball over. Like, let's not worry. But you know what I am noticing, that a lot of teams, and this will help Melbourne, McCarron played 30 minutes, and then you got Hobson playing 28 and Landau. But everyone's around that mid-20s. This is going to help them later in the season. They're all going to be free, as long as he keeps the core happy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, did you hear that? That was just Tom Jervis falling over.
Oh, didn't he get that tech quick? Jeez.
Wow.
Flopping.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm telling you, it looked like a sniper was just went.
It was
bang,
a shocker. It was
a
shocker.
What I didn't like about that, though, and it's the right call, but what I don't like is I can't even remember who it was against, right? I know it was against Melbourne, but I can't remember
it was against
Melbourne. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, whoever it was, let's say Barlow, using Barlow as an example, he had the layup, and they called the 2 points off, even though he laid it up, because he flopped before the layup.
That's right.
And then they call it intentional, so you get 1 point inside possession. So you go from a guaranteed 2 points to potentially getting one, or missing a free throw and missing the next shot. Like, what?
So what you're saying is that it was a brilliant masterstroke play by Tom Jervis to flop and get the tech because he saved a couple of points.
I know it's not the rule. What I would have loved is wait for the play to finish.
Yeah.
Score the two, and now I've given you a tech. Let's not even give a remote of a reward for that. So,
and there's your Rosen Rattler. You know, you said you're struggling for a Rosen Rattler. That's a good one. Let the play finish.
I've got one. Yeah.
Oh, have you? Well, we better hurry. Geez, we're nearly at the half hour mark, and that's where everybody dozes off, me included.
They dozed off the first minute, buddy. As soon as they heard, here is Bradley, they're like, boom, I'm gone. And then all they wake up for is, and we'll see you next week.
come on. Where are we? We've got the last
round five.
Game. Yeah, okay, let's do round five.
Yeah, let's go. Well, we spoke about the last game because we spoke Cairns, New Zealand.
Yep.
So that was
fun. Beautiful. Right? Illawarra at home to Melbourne. Illawarra is going to win.
Yep, I'm with you. Southeast really? Melbourne, Phoenix to put. Yeah. Hawks to win that. Melbourne will get a loss. Hawks will be good. Phoenix, Wildcats, big game at the State Sports, at the State Basketball Centre.
See, they're playing twice. And again, I think this will be a split. I don't know, you know, will Phoenix get the first one or Perth or vice versa? I think they're going to split. I can't see Perth winning twice. I can't see Phoenix winning twice. So I'm going to say split, but I don't know which is which.
Well, I'm going for Perth to win that first one.
Okay.
So, I'll go Southeast to win Sunday. But anyway, so yeah, I'm going to Perth, which means you're going opposite because
Okay, so that means I'm going Southeast to win.
Friday night for the first. Oh, by the way, Illawarra playing at the Wynn, or the Hawks playing at the Wynn Entertainment Centre. First games in New South Wales this season. So we're in round five. Just mentioning that Qdos Bank Arena, Sydney Kings first home game Friday night versus New Zealand Kings to get that one.
Yes, I agree. There's turmoil in that New Zealand team, and unless they're addressing it, Sydney's going to get that.
Yeah, I agree. Saturday night, back to Bendigo, the basketball stadium, Melbourne United versus Cairns.
Cairns will feel right at home in that smaller venue, but United has now won twice there and will make that three.
They will flex their muscle. I'm with you. Now, this is a good one. Nissan Arena, the Brisbane Bullets are taking on, the Adelaide 36ers second team, the Brisbane Bullets, are
Thank
taking
you.
On the Adelaide 36ers first team.
Yeah.
Who's and, winning?
The second team is, because the guys that left, Kadi, Sobey, Heidson, Froling, Drimmick, are probably better than Pinder. So, I'm going with Brisbane.
By the hair on your back or just boom, boom. That's the Pinder one. Sorry.
I don't have a lot of hair on my back.
You cut it off your nose. I know off your face.
Face. Yeah. Face.
Well, I hope you didn't cut it off your nose. That would be a bit, I've heard that about you. Now, Sunday, the first of the big ones, Sydney Kings versus the Hawks at the Qdos Bank Arena.
I'm still going to go with the Hawks, but that's a good game. I'm really
cautious homecoming. Yeah. Coming back to the Kings, but can I please add that he wasn't at Qdos Bank Arena. That was the entertainment centre. That's no longer there. But, I'm with the Hawks. Sunday, and again, we've already said this, Southeast Phoenix versus Perth.
Yeah.
The other way around. And then Monday night, we have it again. The Adelaide 36ers playing the Adelaide 36ers number two team. Or is it the other way around? I don't know who's one and two anymore, but it's again, Adelaide versus Brisbane.
Again, I don't trust either of these teams enough to believe that one will beat the other twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going confidently for Brisbane in the first one, I'm going not confidently, but I'm going for Adelaide in the second one.
Mind you, please. So Saturday night is in Brisbane. Monday night is in Adelaide.
That makes all the difference. It's across the road from the brewery.
Yeah.
Big time in Adelaide.
Your home.
It's across the road from the
brewery. I also wanted to mention, it's up on the website now as well, all the games in the hub.
Right.
So they've got all the games. It's great, mate. There's mostly two a night. It's going to be awesome. They're all live on TV. And, you know, like, so on Saturday, Feb 20th is the first game. That's Cairns versus the Hawks and Melbourne versus Perth. And then the next night, Phoenix versus Bullets, Kings versus 36ers. And then the next night, mate, it's just awesome. I'm really, really looking forward to the Harbour.
Likewise. And okay.
I'll go first.
Go with your Rosen Rattler.
So we've already mentioned it. The New Zealand Breakers. That is my Rattler. That thing, I know, is on a downturn. To see what I saw in a game where you call the coach, the thing I didn't like what Shamir did is you've called one player out, which I don't have a problem with, but you're letting other players get away with other crap. Yeah. So you're actually trying to make a scapegoat out of someone where that scapegoat's sitting there, not even looking you in the eyes, which tells me, mate, you've lost him. And he's looking up in the stands and, you know, I've been harsh on Lamar and I still think he came in out of shape and that's fine. But this has got nothing to do with that. This is a guy that's a proven winner that, you know, there's a lot of guys in that team doing a lot of things wrong. And you've picked that guy in that time at that stage. Yeah, man, that worries me. I'm concerned for New Zealand. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, though I would put a little caveat is that we didn't go into every New Zealand timeout. So you don't know necessarily if he didn't maybe go after another player or two. But on what we saw, on the evidence we have, I've got to agree with you. My little nasty, it's not that nasty. It just makes me shake my head. The amount of times late in the games when the referee hands the ball to the player on the sideline that he feels an obligation to tell the nearest defender, don't break the plane, don't be a naughty boy, and wave your hands around. And they do that whole thing with the hand going, indicating, there's the sideline, this is going straight up, don't come over. You know, it's like, this isn't under 10s. For crying out loud. If some clown wants to wave his arms around and gets a tech, give him a tech.
I want the referees to do the exits are here, 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 and here.
And that's the note on which we should go out. We should exit on that one.
To all our listeners, thank you so much. That's two podcasts in one week. You poor things. You got to listen to us for an hour over an hour. Boddy, as usual, thank you so much for joining us. To everyone else, make sure you check out Boddy's website, BOTINAGY. It's brilliant. He's got some great articles. You got to get on it. They come up all the time and they're brilliant. To everyone else, enjoy round 5. We're looking forward to going into the hub. And for everyone, have a great week and we'll see you next time.